And today we did. We started out with the candle representing angels during this season of Advent. And how wonderful the season of Advent is. It's done so much, and it helps me kind of just refocus from all the things that go on at this time of the year, that it helps us to refocus and to keep our focus really truly on that which is important, and it's that of the birth of our Lord and Savior and how it came about. So as we look at this, first things we want to look at is angels. What are angels? Well, word wealth that I've got and looked through it was this. They're a messenger. They would be known, they could be ambassadors. Angels, a messenger, ambassador, someone dispatched to do a task or to relay a message. 2 Chronicles 32. If I go back to 2 Chronicles 32. Kind of the Old Testament look here real quick. We will kind of bounce through this just a little bit and try to get into some of the New Testament. But you find that angels are mentioned and they're in God's Word from the beginning to the end. Even during the time of Jesus. And Jesus shared much about angels as well and what they were going to be about. But if I look at 2 Chronicles 32:21, we find here that there's a battle getting ready to be taken place. And some people began to pray to God. And beginning in 20 there, you can look where, you know, King Hezekiah and some others, they prayed. Isaiah, I think it was, they began to pray about the situation unfolding. In verse 21, and then the Lord sent what? An angel. Who, and this is the thing, angels are very mighty, you know. They're very powerful. They're very strong. That's probably why when someone did see an angel, they would say, don't be fearful. You know, I'm here to share this from God, you know. Because when you look at this part of what an angel can do, what happened here? The Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, leader and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria, and so he returned shamefaced to his own land. The key to this is the Lord answered the prayers to those that prayed in verse 20, and he did what? He sent an angel to take care of the business. He dispatched the angel, that messenger, the ambassador, to do a task. And I tell you what, I don't think angels fail when they come and do a task. They pretty well succeed and are successful at what the Lord has put upon them to do. Amen? So we find that angels that are mentioned in the Old Testament were sent to assist or to inform the patriarchs. You can look at that of angels that were sent to Balaam. They were sent to David and the prophet Zechariah, to name some of them. And I'm going to tell you, as I began to look at this, I shared it this morning in Sunday school, you could do quite a study on angels and their role that they played throughout the time of God's time, and even how they play out the time today where we're at. Amen? Angels are still ministering spirits out there. They did not go away with the Old Testament. They did not stop just because Jesus came. They did not stop just because the Holy Spirit is there. I tell you what, guys, we have got the best of the best of the best, if you look at it, knowing that we've got God, who is a creator of everything. That's who I serve. He sent Jesus Christ to die for me, and my sins are forgiven by that. And I'm a child of God and engrafted through that blood, and hallelujah. And then I was filled with the Holy Spirit because Jesus went back to the Father, and the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. The Holy Spirit gives us that dunamis power. And not only that, when all else needs to help us, we've got angels still coming to help. Wow! What a deal! I mean, it's the best of the best. Hallelujah! We are not alone. You are not defeated. You will not be subject to a loss. You might go through a discouragement and battles and have a frustration here and there. But I'm going to tell you, you hold the course long enough and allow God to send that angel to you or the Holy Spirit to give you what needs to be done, and you will be a victorious Christian. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, whether we deal here and we don't maybe see the end result of a prayer that we would like to, whatever it might be, of longevity and health and healing, as a Christian we know that the ultimate reward is in heaven anyway. And so here again, we've got the best, God, we got angels, we got Jesus, we got the Holy Spirit. We've got the point in time where if we are to die at this place here and we are called home, we live in eternity anyway. So here again, it's a win-win, win-win-win situation. It's why we can walk this earth and walk our times out being victorious, not defeated. Knowing that there's something much more and much greater out there than what we see in this place that God has us at. But we want to do our best. We want to shine for Him. Amen. We want to give Him the glory. We want people to look at us and not see us, but see God in us and through us. And that's what it's about. And that's the purpose of why we're here today. To show the love of God. To show the compassion of God. To show the strength of God. And whatever God tells us to do at the time to help someone, to be that example to them. Because they are crying out to God. And we say, well, Lord, let us be your voice. Let us be your hands extended, whatever that might be. And when you say those things, mean it and follow through with it. Amen? So that God gets the glory. That's what it's all about. I can care less that anybody really mentions Harvesters Church as a fantastic church and all that. I just want them to say, you know what? When we were there, we sensed the presence of God. When we were there, we sensed God's time there. Whatever the case might be. Because that's the most important thing, is them with God and God with them. Amen. Hallelujah. So we find that angels are mentioned in the Old Testament to assist our informed. They were very powerful. They used and did a lot back then. Now as we look into the New Testament, we find angels doing similar things. They were used to deliver messages or to minister to those that God would send them forth to help so that they could still be called that of a messenger in the New Testament. Matthew 4:11. If I look at Matthew, we'll just jump around here a little bit here and try to get some scriptures thrown out here. Matthew 4:11, what's that say? Let's see. Alrighty. Then Jesus said to him, now this is where we've kind of fast-forwarded it through that of the time in the desert or the time that Jesus was out and about. And we find now the temptation of Satan upon Jesus. But in 4:11, then Jesus says to him in 10, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, what happened? Angels came and they ministered to who? To Jesus. Even God sends angels to help his son, Jesus. He will do that to help you too. Don't you believe that? If he's going to help Jesus, his son, hallelujah, he will send the angels to help you. But I don't know what that all entails as far as, and they came and they ministered to him. You know, I'm not dug into that, but I would imagine they attended to whatever needs he had, whatever he needed. The angels were there to provide what he needed. No more, no less. Why is that? Because the angels came and they ministered to him. Hallelujah. So we find that in the New Testament. So that's what's exciting. This is one of those things that it bridges the old into the new. It's something that's exciting from the old to the new into the Revelation talks and angels and things, and we see these things happening in today. That's why it's really exciting, and it should be a powerful thing for our churches to speak of the things of angels as well as Jesus, as well as the Holy Spirit, as well as God. We want to share and give an example to everyone about the totality of God. Amen? And what God is about, because that's what the world needs. They don't need just a part of, well, we only believe Jesus. We don't know about God and the Holy Spirit. We're a Jesus-only thing. You're missing something. Well, we just go with the Spirit flow now. We, Jesus and God. Well, you're missing something in the Spirit flow. You've got to be it all. God did not send Jesus to do away with this or to do away with that. He didn't send the Holy Spirit to do away with one or the other. It's the totality of the things that God has for us through himself, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, and even to angels. I'm going to say amen to that. Hallelujah! Continuing our look into angels, we find that angels are members of an order of heavenly beings. Okay, they are super to human beings with regard to strength and intelligence, but they're not all powerful, they're not all knowing, you know, they're not all that. They are there at the beck and call of who? God to put into them what he wants them to do and dispatches them to go do it. They're not up there thinking on their own and saying, well, I think I'll do this. Well, we had one angel that wanted to do that. It goes back to the Lucifer, the old devil. He's a fallen angel, right? And so we do have, there are fallen angels and there are unfallen angels. And so we do know that there were some of those that got the high and mighty and pridefulness of their self, saying, I want to be like that. I want to do that. I'll tell them what they need to do. Probably that's where old Lucifer got into. Old Satan, he wanted to do and control everything. Well, that wasn't going to go with God. You got kicked out of the deal. He is the fallen angel. You might know him sometimes like the, and he's known as the angel of light as well. You got to be very cautious, very, very careful when people say, I saw a bright light. I mean, because the devil is a counterfeit of whatever God can do. He will try to do it and to snatch the people away from God. So there is importance to realize what he is capable of doing. But I'm going to tell you, if you're understanding of what your enemy can do to you, chances are your enemy won't get by with doing it to you. Because you'll be one step ahead of them. And you'll be that of the Holy Spirit in you. It will lead you into all truth anyway. So it's kind of we've got such a good protection there. Hallelujah. Talk about these companies that always want to sell you an extended, you know, policy to protect yourself in case this warranty doesn't cover this or that. We have got a wonderful extended coverage policy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Psalms 103:20, and we'll go there, but just in some of the thought processes here about superhuman beings, regard to strength and intelligence, you can find that like in probably 2 Samuel 14 and 2 Peter, we find it there. So like I'm saying, there's scattered Old Testament and New Testament. 2 Peter 2:11, I guess let me just jump there. In 2:11 here, it says, then the Lord, I'm going to start at 9 maybe, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And then verse 11, whereas angels who are what? Greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. The piece of what you want to look at there is the part of where it says in the word here that they have greater in power and might. Angels are big people. They're strong. They're mighty. You remember, this goes way back, and I don't know, it's always good to reflect upon it, and it's things that we've heard, but a situation out in, I think it was New York, where this lady was by herself and walking on a street that was darkened and kind of like in a bad part of town, and how she was there at that time and left work late. I don't know the whole particulars, but the gist of the whole thing that was shared about was that she was accosted by two or three hoodlums that wanted to rob her, and who else know what else to do? I don't know, but anyway, they're going to rob her. And so they were looking at her, and then all of a sudden, before anything happened, they took out and ran, and she didn't quite understand what happened. Well, made a police report, and a couple of days later, they did this again. They tried to rob somebody, and they caught them this time. And so they asked these three, I think it was three or four of these bad guys, well, were you the same ones that tried to rob and accost this lady a few nights back? And they admitted to it. And they said, well, the one thing about it is we got to ask is, why did you turn and run? She was the only one in that alleyway or walkway or that street where she was at. Why did you turn and run and you didn't complete what you wanted to do? They were just inquiring. It was, why'd you do that? And they said, well, when they looked and saw behind her, there was like, I don't know, three or four giant guys behind her. Scared them. They took off running. I don't know if this was like something with the ministry that was out in the New York and the East Coast, but this goes back some time. But this was shared and talked about how, you know, evidently God opened the eyes of those bad guys to see somebody angelically behind this person, and they thought, we're out of here. So it's very interesting because, you know, we do know that the angels, they would come and they would speak to people because they spoke to Zacharias. They spoke to Mary, didn't they? Mary, Zacharias, this is going to happen. First they'd say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, I want to talk to you, okay? Don't run out, I got something I want to share. Amen. And so they would talk, so there's conversation with them. It's not like they just, all of a sudden it just comes in your mind like, bink, oh yeah, they're talking to me. They must have heard verbal things. And then you read, and we might get there, but you find that Zacharias and Mary, they would even carry on a conversation with them. The angel appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar. Okay, he's talking to Zacharias. Then it goes here, and Zacharias says to the angel, how shall I know this? I mean, first of all, praise God, the guy is willing to carry on a conversation with, you know, an angel. He didn't run. Well, the angel's been talking to him now, to stand at the altar there. And anyway, and the angel, so he says, that Zacharias says to the angel, verse 18, 118, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Now, how interesting. We have a story of that taking place back in the Old Testament. Talk to Abram and Sarai. You know, God does miraculous things. And it's usually confound the thoughts of how it could all be, because many people that he used of ministry and pouring himself into to do phenomenal things were of age. It's been told, you know, you have not hit your mark with God, really, until maybe you hit in your 60s or so, and then look out, God can use you. So we're there, man. Woohoo, hang on. 60s, the 70s, the 80s. You know, the world says when you get to this age, you need to be slowing down. You need to be giving up. You need to just sit over there in the corner. You get to that age with God, and God says, now I'm ready for you to do what I've asked and prepared for you to do since the foundations of this earth, and since knowing before you were formed in your mother's womb, I've got this plan for you, Tim. And Tim's going to say, but I'm 74 years old, God. God will say, so what? So what? You know? Anyway, that's another story. So they talked to him, and I'm Gabriel, and says the angels answered in verse 19 and said to him, I am Gabriel. Now, this is the good angel. We have Michael, the archangel, Gabriel. Those are the two unfallen angels. Those are the well-known angels. Those are the big angels that we have. And we find this, that I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. So I'm going to say this, if they can speak to me, you might be able to see one now and then. It talks in God's word as well as, well, when did we do this to you, Lord? We didn't see you. Well, when you did it to the least of these, or when you did it to this person. And see, that's those things of you never know what God is going to use to get something to you, through you, or for you. And it might be that stranger out there that you don't even know. But it could be that of a very well of an angel sent, dispatched as a messenger to do something, say something, or just to see how you respond. I don't know. I don't have the whole ins and outs of what God wants to do. I'm just saying, just be cautious of those things. Be alert to those things to, you never know. Hallelujah. Okay, where were we at here? I want to go to Psalms 103:20. Psalms 103:20, and let's just look there, Psalms 103, I'm going to start, well, let's just go into about 20, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word, bless the Lord all you his host. Host. We think of angels, host, a host of angels in the heavenlies. We think of that. But he's saying, bless the Lord, all you host, you ministers, you servants of his who do his pleasure. So right there we find quite a bit in regards to angels. And we'll, so we'll look at this. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in, number one, what? Strength. They're mighty. You are not going to have a weak angel from God. Amen? if they're an angel from the Most High, they have got whatever they need to do to get the job done, to get it accomplished, so be it. And what do they do? Not only are they strong, but something else that they do, and we ought to do this as well, who, what? Do His Word. They're strong. They hear the Word of God. God tells them what He wants them to do. He dispatches them and says, you're going to go. Well, think of Clarence, that angel in It's a Wonderful Life. It's a story, but it's interesting to see that concept and how wonderful that story is, where Angel Clarence is going to go win his wings, you know, by helping this poor person, you know, go through his life and the misery that he's in. And so dispatched him to this earth, and those things happen, but I tell you what, those are awesome kind of looking at and watching, and I love that show. I never did, but as I got older, I could watch it over and over and over, just the whole concept of it. I think there's sermons based off of some of those messages out there because they're really powerful messages. If you look at the concept of the whole focus of, you know, could you imagine that this day and age? It's awesome. But anyway, we find that they do His Word, they're strong. They heed the voice of His Word. They bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of those. So let's kind of look really quick about this. This shows us the purposes of angels. Number one, they exist for the following: to bless the Lord in worship and service. You know, we were created to worship Him. You know, He put us here for a lot of things, but He wants us to worship and to honor Him and to glorify Him. But angels, to bless the Lord in worship and service, that's the first thing. The second thing they're for angels that this is all about is that to do His Word concerning activities on earth. You know, when He's dispatching these angels, do you think He's dispatching them in heaven, to heaven, to heaven? You know, just go across the street here to heaven? No, He's dispatching them from heaven down to here. Heeding His Word, bringing that message, doing what He wants in that one person's life. There are so many people out there that are hurting, that are miserable, that are lost, that are upside down in where they're at in life. And if it's not by that of the Holy Spirit, I believe the Lord just sends these angels to come and help and minister to that person, to that family in some way, some measure. And you know what? It might be through you, through us, through an organization, whatever the case might be, to help in that situation. So you never know what He's going to use. But anyway, to do His Word concerning activities on earth. Also, thirdly, to heed the voice of God's Word as it is spoken. We got to do that same thing. You read the Word of God, you hear that voice by the Holy Spirit in you, bring it to life in you. You've got to follow that Word and do that Word and not set it on the backside saying, well, I'll do it later, I don't know if it's for me. If it's for you and it comes to you and it's given to you, you'll want to do it because it's the Word from God. To minister, on the fourth one, minister on behalf of God. Hebrews 1:14, and you'll find that there, I believe, in Hebrews 1:14, to minister on behalf of God. And then the fifth one is to give pleasure, to do God's pleasure as His host, and they're at His discretion. Oh my goodness, this is the week of the calendar time of Advent and our preparation of the things of the prophecy candle and then the shepherd candle. And then, you know, we look at the angel candle and all these things are developing, and now we come to this point of the final week would be that of the Christ candle. This is not religion. This is just something to kind of give our attention, our focus on a little bit, saying, you know, each of these candles is representation of something of that season that meant a lot. And it still means much more for us today as well. We've got to get ourselves back into some of these things and get away from the world trying to steer things away from the things of God. The world is out there to try to get us to put less on Christ and more on them in the things of this world and to do away with all these things. And, oh, that's okay, you can believe it, and it's a willy-nilly and blah, 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 you know, if that's what you want to believe. No, I believe this because there's power in this. I believe this because this will change lives. I believe this because this will be more around in the time. If things would fail in our government and things here in this nation, this will still be the true word of God. Because everything with man is subject to failure. Everything with man is not totality to where it'll be the same. Because we know with man, man will change it to fit the needs of what they're into in that season, in that generation, in those generations away from wherever they're from. That we want to take these things and slowly erode whatever this says and get people into the believing that man has the answer. Man does not have the answer. Man has the deception. The devil is working through man, deceiving them to share things. Some of these people don't even know what they're being used by. That's the sadness of it. They don't realize that, I believe, you know, it's just a spiritual battle is what we're up against. It says that our battles are not in flesh and blood, but in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm. Well, that spiritual realm is in planting seeds into people to put things out there to destroy these things and to just create havoc in our society, to create dissension and disunity in our churches, whatever it takes. I mean, and this is kind of going off from where we're at here, the angels, but I believe, though, in today, we've got to focus on these things and believe in these things and read on these things and put them back into our spirit to share and to stand strong with the things that we come up against. Anybody come up against anything recently against the things of God or just in society as a general, you know? That we've had to deal with and ponder and pray about. I mean, I'm going to tell you that I you know, wherever this past election came and where it went and all these things, all I can say is that you look two years or a year and a half back, there was a lot of people poo-hooing the man that's now the elected president of the United States. Good, bad, or indifferent, I don't know, because all I know is my God puts the men and women into power in government. And so all I've got to do is trust whoever's in there. God, you put them there. I don't know why, but I'm going to pray for them. And that's my challenge. That's my duty. That's all that I'm to do. I don't need to second guess them. I don't need to go, well, they're not doing it right. I just need to say, I turn them over to God, pray for them, because I'm going to tell you, you will change man, you will change the spirit of man more by prayer than by trying to talk to him. Because we get bullheaded. My way is better than your way, Willie, and you got to do it my way because you're doing it wrong, and this is what I want to tell you how you got to do it. Well, I tell that to Willie, and Willie starts going, you ain't telling me nothing. I know what I'm doing. You're not right. You're wrong. And so then we go, boom, boom, boom. But I see something going on. I get over here in my prayer time, and I just say, Lord, I think by the Spirit, Lord, I just think that, you know, Willie could do it a whole lot better, Lord. But, Lord, if it's your will, just let your will work in his life. And let it be bold and let it just work through him, Lord. Just bless him, Lord, and help me have an understanding as well. Man, what's wrong with that prayer? I don't need to have a fight. I don't need to have a dissertation with them. I don't need to argue with them about who, what, or where. I just got to say, and you'll get some people riled up, man. I tell you what, when they have the, you know, the spirit thereof, when you go, I'll pray for you, and they say, you don't pray for me at all. You just keep that stuff out of my life. don't be praying for me. Well, they must believe there's power or something in prayer. There must be a higher power if they deny it and say, don't do that. Well, I might say, I'm going to do that. We're going to fight. I'll say, oh, okay. I'll still be praying for you, brother. Because I want to pray for God's blessings upon you. And it's not that I'm right. It's not that I have all the answers, other than I do have all the answers here. They've never changed. They're still the same today. They'll still get you out of debt. They'll still help your relationships. They will still help you treat your fellow man, your fellow American with dignity and pride, or your people around the world, you name it. This book will tell you how to do everything. But we don't want to do that today. But I do, and I will, and continue to be upon it. Because it never fails. God never fails. His word is true today. His word will be true tomorrow. If he tarries and we go through another two or three generations of people, The one thing I am so happy and proud to stand before you today is to say, but you know what? The word that I share today will be the same word that three generations from now can share that same word, and it'll be true. It'll be powerful. It will change lives. Hallelujah. That's why we can be excited for God. That's why we can serve God. That's why we go to church on Sundays or get together as a fellowship and learn more of His Word. It's so that we can be strong in it and that we can know what it's all about and that we don't get sucked into the black hole of, you know, of man and the society and what they want to do, because I tell you what, that is going down the wrong tube. But we can change that. And prayer does a lot. So we see these things today in our lives, and we see these things happening. And don't you not believe that what was going on back then and back when the Lord sent that angel and he just wiped out a garrison, a army of the enemy? You don't believe that the God of the ones that we serve today cannot send an angel to do the same thing today? I believe it. And we will see it. I don't know how it'll come about. I don't know where and what. I just know that my God is faithful. And if I am doing true to His word and standing upon His principles, that His word tells me that He's around me. He's protecting me. His word tells me He goes before me. Well, if He's going before me, how do I know He's not dispatched an angel to do that for me or to protect my back? You know, in Daniel, that prayer that went up, and for the most part, they thought it hadn't gone up, and they thought that the Lord hadn't heard, and what's this deal? We've prayed, and we don't have the answer. Oh, my goodness. Well, it was that prayer of 21 days that it took to get down here, and the thing that I find so comforting in that, like I find comfort in His Word. First of all, I've got to ask, do you find comfort in God's Word? Yes. Amen? But you read those things, and you find out that the word says that we heard your prayer the instant you said it. So when we pray for people, when we pray for situations, don't we worry like, well, gee, I wonder if it went through. I wonder if God really heard my prayer. I haven't had an answer. It's been a day or two. It's been 3 hours. It's been 10 minutes. I haven't had my prayer answered yet. What's going on? But we've got to know that there's those things in between that want to hold up the promises and the things of God. But the one thing is, they cannot hold it back forever. That eventually God will, at the right time, give that upper hand and get that answer to prayer down there. And we got to believe it's by His power and His will and how it's all going to work out. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, quickly, there are two well-known unfallen angels that serve as ministering for God, Michael and Gabriel. And here we've talked about it. Michael's mentioned in Daniel, finds it in Jude, verse 9, Revelation. So there's Michael. Michael is tasked with caring for Israel. Gabriel, we read about in Daniel as well, in Luke. Gabriel, he's communicating that special messages to the God's servants. We find he's the messenger to Mary. He's the messenger to Zacharias. He's sharing this thing, you know, the word of God. And this is the thing here. 1 Kings 22:19. 1 Kings. And this, you can turn there if you want, but I'm just going to go to read. But it's with the gist of it is 1 Kings 22:19. This is the thing that, woohoo! Well, it's here, I know, if I turn to it. It talks about, therefore I heard the word of the Lord, and I saw the Lord sitting on His throne, and all the host of heaven standing by on His right hand and on His left. All the host of heaven. Talking about angels, you're looking at this as far as the numbers and the things that are there. They're just innumerable. As to how many are there out there? You know, it's here again a great study to try to do. But there's a vast number of angels that are still by His side for God to do these things. That's in 1 Kings, and we find that that's going to carry through. And we just don't know. I don't know what the population is of angels, but hallelujah! I'm glad I got one. How about you? We always talk about a guardian angel. Amen. There's much more that we can look at in regards to angels, and we can approach that probably maybe this next year as I began to get more into this. It's like, oh my goodness, this is such a powerful thing. But quickly, we just refocus back to this time. TJ pretty well covered all that to look at Luke 1:11, angel appears to Zacharias telling about the birth of John. He had to get John here because John was going to go before him and proclaim the way, right? So John had to come a little bit earlier, a few months or so, and then he was going to proclaim that way. Luke 1:18, Zacharias is talking. Luke 1:26, Gabriel is dispatched to Mary. Luke 2:9, angels are sent to tell the shepherds. Jesus often spoke of angels both good and bad. What about Matthew 13:41? We're going to wrap this up here. Matthew 13. Where are we at? This is talking about the parable of the tares and things explained. Verse 40, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. Verse 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom all the things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. So here again, you know, the angels weren't just in the Old Testament. We know that. And we know that they were put into the New Testament to at least share the messages to Gabriel or to Mary and to Joseph and to Zacharias. And so saying, sharing all these things. And then you also begin to see that how Jesus spoke of the angels as well. And one thing as we leave here today is this, that angels are quite real, and they play an important part of God's plan for the world. So, with that said, hallelujah. Thank God for all that he has and all that he uses at his disposal. And he's a wonderful God. I love him. I'm thanking him for how he shares his time with us, how he nurtures us, helps us grow, gives us his word, gives us the Holy Spirit to help us lead us into truth, and if nothing else, to just ponder some things. Have you ever been meditating upon some things of God and just quiet yourself down and say, but what about this, God? And then you just sit there. And then all of a sudden, it's like he just begins to share something to you. It's like he's right there, right next to you, sitting across the table, having a cup of coffee. I don't know what it might be, but all of a sudden, it's just like you're hearing in a conversation. And I've not had angels. I'm not sitting there and seeing and hearing voices and all that, but in my spirit, I hear these things. Is to the point then, after I hear this part from him, then it maybe cues up another question. And I'm willing to say, but okay, Lord, that's great. I understand that now, but how does it fit into this? How does that pertain to that here? Or how will this work in this situation in my life, you know? And then you shut up. Shut up. Just shut up. You know, and allow him to speak to you. And listen. Listen. And when you hear it, just say, okay, let's try that. Let's try that. I want to tell you, when you do those things like that, it's amazing how the way is just made. It opens up. And I'm not saying it's totally easy and it's all well and good and all that. We've had struggles and all that as well. But I just know that I know when I've had my times with God and I've asked him and been patient and listened to him, he's always been there for me. He's always shared tenderness with me. He's given me insight into things. Not necessarily for other people's lives. It's not that I'm out there praying for that, but it's insights within my own life and where I want to be with him and where can I serve you, Lord? How do you want this done? Is this where you want? Is this what you want? Are we on that path? Are we doing this? Is there more to it? Are we missing something, Lord? Is there something more that we need to do or not do? Lord, what is it? Because we just want to see him and please him. Because he's invested so much in us. And the thing is, you can never, well, yeah, I kind of want to say you can never, but he is so full of mercy and grace, even when we do dumb things, stupid things, that with man, they would kick you off to the side and say, to away with you. You know, I've had my fill of you. My Lord, he's not been like that. He's always seems to be there saying, okay, come back, let's have a talk. You know, you realize I'm right. Yes, Lord, I know you're right. Okay, let's start over. But anyway, he's wonderful.